Speak to me, O Lord. Hello and welcome to the Sisterhood of Motherhood podcast. I am so glad you're here to our podcast. We are sponsored by Family Tree Ministries. I am Nancy Morrell, your host. I hope you and your children are doing well, no matter how small they are or how old they are. And our Sisterhood of Motherhood podcast is building a community to share insights and information about motherhood, to increase your understanding of motherhood, and to provide solutions and reassurance for the journey. At the end of this podcast, I will share our contact information, and the links of the items discussed in this episode are listed at the end of the description on platforms with my video. So we're going to go over into defining motherhood with a special First of the Nation and of its kind program in Florida, and also going over home sweet home, how to communicate with small children and make your home comfortable, and also discussing Bloom's taxonomy, a little mental gymnastics of communication with children. And then we'll go over some education items, what the federal government is up to with some definitions in education that have a big impact on your freedoms, and also about gardening and how to start growing at least one thing. And we'll close with some services that helped me personally as a mother of three children under five at the time when my children were that little. And those programs are still available today, so we're going to go over that as well. So the first thing I want to go over is this program. Mrs. Casey DeSantis from Florida, the governor's wife, is introducing a first of its kind program called Resiliency Florida. And it's a new program to support students and parents to build resiliency at school and at home. And it's a first in the nation opportunity for Florida parents and grandparents to be in-school resiliency coaches to help students overcome challenges. It comes along with a stipend for training, and I want to just describe, it just describes motherhood to me. Resiliency Florida is a first-in-the-nation initiative focused on reframing mental health education to focus on building resiliency skills, including grit, perseverance, gratitude, personal responsibility, decision-making, mentorship, self-awareness, problem-solving, empathy, citizenship, and honesty. Boy, aren't those good motherhood goals. So it's just an awesome program. This is just a few weeks ago on the Florida Department of Education website. And I'm just excited that they're doing it, and I'm excited about the description. It's just so much about being a mom, basically. So now regarding our home sweet home segment here, listen to what these two parents have to say about the wonderful outcomes they've experienced in their homeschooling. It says, "We have a great confidence builder for our girls in Access Sport America program that they utilized. They adapted all the equipment for the children. The windsurfer that my first daughter was on had a deck on top with two wind surf boards. So there was an instructor standing behind her, helping her control her balance and the sail. And she sailed for about 45 minutes. Awesome. My other daughter had an instructor standing behind her and sailed for about 20 minutes. What a great day. Now, do you remember things in your childhood that you just loved that day? You just loved what it was. You remember it today. And these are the kind of experiences as parents, it doesn't take much effort, but it's exciting. They have support of another adult with them. And you as a parent can introduce them to these really great new activities that challenge them physically and mentally, but they have the support around them to ensure success. And here's another parent. I wanted to tell you a difference homeschooling has made in our lives, even such a short amount of time. In the past, I had gone to school with Joey and watched him struggle on a daily basis while feeling defeated. As you can imagine, learning does not readily take place in that kind of environment. Ding, of course. Learning has become a totally new process for him. more tactile, more related, and more fun. We have been able to see him change as a person. He's developing more autonomy while being happier and more relaxed. And this is kind of a neat closure here. They say, what I don't get is that you pay for private school and it's easier and more relaxed and more rewarding than public school. But public school is free and funded by plenty of dollars. And it's amazing, though, how children don't benefit more from the public school. And it's a less safe environment. I'm really thankful for all you've done for my little family and how you've blessed my children with learning and love in a safe environment. Of course, the mother, the parents, the home, they did all that. Our Family Tree Private School for Homeschoolers, we just facilitate and guide, but the families are responsible for all the success. Now, regarding in-home life and communicating with small children, it goes along with the Bloom's Taxonomy. Let me describe the Bloom's Taxonomy first. The Bloom's Taxonomy is a hierarchical or ranking tool that classifies learning objectives into different levels of complexity. I'm sure you can agree that children do not have as complex minds as teenagers, and teenagers don't have the most mature and complex minds as older adults. The Bloom's Taxonomy breaks this down perfectly, and the main thing you need to know as parents is children are concrete thinkers. It's not best to say, go clean your room, as it is to say, go put all your clothes over in this corner and close the drawers and put your pillows on your bed. See, that's concrete. Children think concretely, especially under 10 years old. So it's not fair for you to expect them to extrapolate and imagine and creatively come up with your conclusion. And you can get very frustrated if you expect that of them. So you have to know that that's just the way they're geared until they pass puberty. And the Bloom's Taxonomy starts, there's 6 levels. First level is just that, concrete, remembering, deciding, relating, telling, finding, very simple. And then it kind of eases up to understanding, where they can discuss it, they can explain it, they can predict things a little bit, make predictions. So that's understanding it a little bit more. And the third level up is where you apply that knowledge. You can solve a problem, you can complete something, you can use something independently. The child, if they're at the third level, they can do that. So Bloom's goes up to the 4th, 5th, and 6th level, which is a lot more advanced, where you explain and categorize and identify, and then you finally prioritize and justify things. And the very last is the highest level, is you imagine, you design, you plan, you create. So don't get upset with your children if they look like they're not being creative. They're not at level 6 Bloom's. They are not. They will not be for a long time. But they will remember and understand things, and then you can ease them up to apply things. So just remember that when in your home you are communicating with your children, especially the small children, that you want to understand what the Bloom's is all about and how to communicate with the small children. Now, regarding our segment on education, I have to read this to you. I am going to not comment at all. I'm just going to tell you what this rule by the Education Department at the federal level has written. I am going to read it verbatim, and if your jaw doesn't drop like mine did, then you're not listening to me. This is about Title IX, which is enacted to control when schools can get money out there. If you're a Title IX school, you're getting money from Title IX funds, but you have strings. And that's fine. The strings are fine. They're fair. Like, don't discriminate, have a safe environment. You know, Title IX funds are audited and your school is audited. Now, you have to obey the Title IX criteria to get Title IX funds. It's a lot of money, a lot of money. So I want you to listen to this Office of Civil Rights declaration. It's a rule. I'm just going to read their words. I'm not going to add any commentary. Congress, this is them stating things and claiming things. They're stating this and they're claiming what they want. So this is it. Congress has not amended sexual orientation's definitions. But we hold that Title IX is linked to sexual orientation. Schools that do not wish to comply to our final regulations must decline federal funding. The department will not give any, offer any opinions. These final regulations do not grant the department authority to direct, supervise, or control the administration of any recipient. But the department encompasses sexual orientation as a part of Title IX's prohibition. Yet the department will refrain from offering opinions. Anyone who believes that a recipient is discriminating may file a complaint. A school must not treat individuals more or less favorably based on a person's psychological sex characteristics. There is nothing about these regulations that reflect the department's expertise on what constitutes sex discrimination. But we hold that Congress has entrusted the department to articulate what constitutes sex discrimination. And it applies to any person participating in an activity, including parents. But if there is a complaint, the facilitator for the informal resolution must first receive training before they can resolve the complaint. So I just want to let you know that this is what your federal Department of Education is up to with the Title IX money now. This is hot off the press, April 29th, 2024. Okay, I'm not going to comment any further, but I will tell you about, I'll give you some advice as a mother, and I'm going to work off the premise of the truth of the Word of God and scriptural foundation for life and learning. That's what I believe, and if you're listening to this podcast and you believe that, then I think you'll like what I have to say. If you don't, or you're new to the Bible and you're missing out on some great foundational life lessons, and please continue to listen to my podcast and you will learn a lot that can help you in life. The scriptural response to anything that's combative like this or threatening like this is to refrain from trying to parlay with them. You don't debate with them. You hold, like our declaration says, these truths to be self-evident. We are created equal. We are created by our Creator. When we have this entanglement put in front of us, and whatever this is, threats and just kind of like not making sense. A lot of this, it's meant to be that way. Don't get entangled in it. I am not going to debate this with them. My Bible teaches me different concepts and values and things that I'm just going by that. That's my decision in life. I am going by a biblical foundation of life and learning the best I know how. So what does the scripture tell me to do when this stuff is put in front of me? You as a mom, what should you do when stuff like this is put in front of you? Well, your children have to endure this because they're going to be in front of, it's a scary thought, but in high school, children are entitled to a free public education until they're 21. And you can have a 14-year-old, 13 turning 14, entering a high school with a 21-year-old that's fully sexualized, and sexual orientation for them, it's all about flaunting it. So what do you do? Well, this is the scriptural thing you do. You don't parlay with them. You don't work things out and just talk it, and how can I accommodate you and how can you accommodate me? You don't parley with them. You shake the dust off. You remove yourself from the discussion and from the influence. You have a right. And you shake the dust off, like the scripture says, and you embrace joy. You have a reason to be happy. God loves you. He has a plan for you. He has a path for you and your children. So don't worry about this stuff, but just be aware of it. Just be aware that it's going on and be ready to say, I don't agree with it. I'm not debating it with you. Have a good day. You don't need to engage yourself in this, and tell your children the same thing. They are strong. They are loved. They are created by God for a purpose, and God has standards, and they're in the Bible. Very simple. So that's our scriptural approach, and I'll tell you exactly some scripture for it. Is in Acts chapter 13. It describes how leaders turned from the truth to subtlety and mischief, because they were envious and they lusted for power, and it resulted in the persecution of those Christians. It's a very interesting chapter, Acts 13. Just be strong and don't overthink it. But I want you to be aware of it. That's why I wanted to share that with you, okay? And the last thing is, of course, the things you can do around the house. Teach personal discipline. Build success in your student by setting aside homework time at home when they get home. Encourage them to do harder subjects first. When they're tired, things get tired, it's easier to complete your schoolwork if you're tired and you're doing an easy thing. So they are to do the harder subjects first at home. Help your child succeed in spite of all this ungodliness around them. By teaching them personal discipline, building success, setting aside homework time, encourage them to do harder subjects first. Review test-taking skills. Reward your children. And don't forget the ACE, Accelerated Christian Education's 5 Laws of Learning, which I described in the last episode. And just encourage your children to succeed in spite of the ungodliness around them. It was sad. I was sad to hear that they were trying to say this, and I'm not even going to debate it with them, whatever, you know, it's an ungodly situation. So gardening and small family farming, that's where my heart's at a lot. I want to encourage you to start growing one thing, and I'll tell you how you can do it. First of all, go to your kitchen, look in your refrigerator, or look on the counter. It could be some kind of vegetable or herb, whatever it is, just look at it. Which is the one that you buy the most? For me, it was garlic. So I started growing garlic. I learned how to grow garlic, and that was my first thing. So I'm out there growing garlic, and now I'm growing it all the time. I want you to find something, and then I want you to research it. What kind of soil do you need? What time of year do you plant it? What are the water requirements, the sunlight requirements, the fertilizer requirements? Just grow that one thing. And that's the most encouraging thing you can do, is grow something. You know, I have an old saying, grow what you eat what you grow. For instance, eggs, you have to get some hens. You don't need a rooster around for your hens to be laying eggs all the time. So get yourself 3 hens, 2 or 3 hens, however many, and you'll get an egg a day from each one of them. And eggs are so expensive. So maybe that's something you can do, a little chicken coop. And roosters are loud, that's why you can't really have a rooster in a lot of places. But you have chickens, and maybe grow one vegetable. You can have a raised bed to do it. You can have large pots for your vegetable or your herb. But I would definitely encourage you to start growing one thing, okay? And now I want to share with you the last thing on my list here, services and information. I am a mother of 3 children, a wonderful son, 2 daughters. And all 3 of my kids were born within a 5-year span. So yes, there was a moment in time I had 3 car seats in the back seat and 2 of them in diapers. It was amazing. I remember laughing, saying, oh my goodness, this is awesome and this is so much work. And it does get easier physically as the kids get older, believe me. When I was young, like mid to late 20s, and I had my three little kids, I came across this group called Mothers of Preschoolers. And this was also the same year or so that they first came out with the Burger King parks. I call them Burger King parks now. They're McDonald's. They're everywhere. Where you go to these fast food places and they have the little parks attached to them. They didn't have that when my kids were infants. But as they become 2-3-year-olds, they started having these Burger King parks. It was like heaven. I would go into the air conditioning, have a Diet Coke, get a newspaper, and there's no tech back then. And they would go off in the park and just fall all over the place and have so much fun. And I could watch them and I could cool off and I could just mentally get away from them for an hour or a half hour, whatever. It was really awesome. But then the Mothers of Preschoolers group came around. And it's called, the organization is called MomCo, M-O-M-C-O. The website link is in my description. And it's called themom.co. That's their website. https://www.themom.co. They've been around for a long time, and on their homepage they have these interesting statistics. Oh, anyway, about Mothers of Preschoolers. You go there and all the moms are your age, all the kids are the same age, and they hire these teenagers to watch your children. And for 2 hours, you do crafts, you listen to a motivational speaker, you get to know these other moms, and you just feel like a person again. It was such a wonderful ministry, and I'm so happy to see how developed they are. They're in 101 countries, 25 languages. They have 72,000 meetings a year and influence over 1 million mothers annually. Their statistics say that 81% of mothers don't feel that they are able to contribute meaningfully to the world. 81%. Oh, you're contributing so much more than you know. 33% of moms regularly feel lonely and isolated from others. I kind of felt like that. No adults. I could never talk to an adult when I did. The kids are around, you know. And 78% of moms report debilitating symptoms of anxiety or depression. I'm so grateful I didn't really have that personally, but it's a thing, I'm sure, especially if you don't have Christ in your life. You don't have that relationship with our Father that gives you purpose and meaning and values and a roadmap on how to live right there in the Bible. So anyway, please look into this organization, Mothers of Preschoolers, which is a subsidiary of the mom.co. MomCo for short. I think you would be very happy about that. So I would like to end with a request. Please share with me your motherhood success stories so that I can share them on the air. You can go to any of my social media or send me an email from our website, familytreehomeschool.com. And I would like to know your stories and share your stories of success. So again, we are sponsored by Family Tree Ministries, and I welcome your letters and also your tax deductible donations. You can send your letters to P.O. Box 775, Lee, Florida, 32059, or visit online at familytreehomeschool.com. The links for the things discussed in this episode are listed at the end of the description on the platforms that have my video. Fundraiser this month is a colorful certificate of achievement for your student in an area for which they are deserving. The achievement certificate has an embossed corporate seal for Family Tree Private School, and it shows our corporate ID number and Florida Department of Education ID number. And you can award this to your child for their special achievement. These certificates are awarded through parental affirmation. And it is our fundraiser for the month, okay? Our suggested donation is $20. Mail all the information you want on the certificate to Family Tree Ministries, P.O. Box 775, Lee, Florida, 32059. Or email your details to nancy@familytreehomeschool.com. Please stay alert for the next Sisterhood of Motherhood podcast. And please take care of yourself so that you can take care of others. Have a great day, and thank you for joining me.
speak to me.